experience.
Batman experience.
Batman experience. Batman experience. Experience.
Welcome to the Pat Mayo Experience, presented by DraftKings 2021 Week 6. DraftKings picks and preview, plus a play the best plays lineup. Towards the end, as always, everything is time-coded. If you're watching this before Thursday Night Football, I, myself, Pat Mayo, put up a Thursday Night Football DraftKings Showdown picks, plus props, video, and podcast. You can check that up on Mayo Media Network. I want you to smash a like for this episode. Give me your favorite cheat play in the comment section. Sub to Mayo Media Network as we push to 30,000 subs on YouTube. And if you want to check out that audio podcast, maybe I'll throw it at the end of this audio podcast. And that makes life easy on everyone. But the video is up on Mayo Media Network right now. Stats and tools I'm using today are from RunTheSims.com. Go to RunTheSims.com/Mayo to get a discount off the optimizer, the single game simulator, the player props. The cheat sheet will be out on Friday on DK Nation, or you can get access to it in the Mayo Media newsletter, which is free to sign up for. Plus, it has great giveaways. So do that in the description. Everything's down in the description. It's like the Pat Mayo Experience Listeners League link. 900 spots remain, and it is Thursday morning, so that's going to fill by Thursday evening. So get your spot right now. Mike Leone from EstablishTheRun.com is on the line. Did you guys like tilt off like 150K on your show last week? What happened there?
Oh, Levitan had a sweat going, and it looked like he was going to win 100K for a while, and then it went south kind of quickly towards the end there when Austin Eckler just went ham, and he didn't have Austin Eckler, and he dropped to third. But, you know, these crazy payout structures, that was a drop from 100K to 15K.
How do you feel about the crazy payout structures? Because I worked a long time on the Pat Mayo Experience Listeners League to make sure that it was flat. Like, it never goes, no matter how many people are in the league, it never goes above 5,000. Because I want it to be flat all the way down. Like, if there's 5,000, there's only 3,000 people in it this week. But when there's like 5,000, it's like 5,000, 4,000, 3,000, 2,000. That it's not that steep of a drop-off. It remains relatively flat. But you're not going to get million-dollar top prizes if there's flat payouts. It just can't work like that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're playing something like the Million Maker, it is what it is. Like, you know what you're getting yourself into, and I don't think you can really complain about the flatness of the payout structure. But if you're in, you know, a different type of tournament, and some of this is just personal preference, but I'd like the top 10 to be smoothed out a little bit, where if I get a top 1% lineup, I want to be paid off in some way. Like, I don't want to be playing too many contests where, you know, third place is 15K and first place is 100K. Like, I'd rather have that smoothed out, like, you know, 75, 50, 25, and then like smoothed out through the top 10. I don't really care about the min cash stuff. And I think, you know, I'm not playing tournaments to min cash. Like, obviously it helps to have some sort of min cash, but like, if that's 2x, 1.5x, I don't really care that much. I just care that if I have a really high end finish, but I don't, you know, I lose by like 0.3, I don't want to have that like be just like this crazy drastic change in ROI for me.
Are there any tournaments that you've been playing during NFL season that you think like have really good payouts?
I like the Juke a lot. I've been playing the Juke and the 777. I think it's called the Touch Pass on DraftKings. And those are both like small field tournaments. I think Touch Pass like 150 people. Juke's generally around 200 to 250 people. And they're like relatively flat up top. I mean, like, obviously first is going to be a decent bump, but it's nice to have like 10th be like around 10% of first, right? Like, if first is 50K, I like being paid out like 5K to 10th, whereas some tournaments first will be 50K and then 10th will be 1K. And I think like that's a little bit much.
Yeah. So these are always things that you should look into. I've been playing a lot of the really small $50, $150, $50, $150 and $100 single entry tournaments. I feel like that's now been my sweet spot. I'm actually up money this year, Leone. Mm-hmm. How crazy is that?
Look at you.
How crazy
Let's
is that?
Let's go. I
feel like that's unsustainable for me.
No. Believe.
I don't. I was just going to come on the show in this week and be like, just make like 10 lineups of the Washington Kansas City game, then don't even think about the rest of the week. That seems easy, right?
It's the KC guys, yeah, are pretty underpriced, especially Kelsey. It's going to be
just bring it
game.
Back with Kelsey, bring it back with Williams. We want Heinicke, we want Ricky Seals-Jones, we want Terry McLaurin. Boom, there's your lineup. We're good to go.
Double tight end week, baby.
Does Kelce even qualify as, like, if you're going to play a double tight end? He's basically like playing a receiver that you can play at tight end. So when you play Kelce in the double tight end lineups, I mean, it's not really a double. It's not like you're playing Evan Ingram and Jared Cook.
If you are going to play a double tight end lineup, I think it makes sense to do it with Kelce and then a punt that's like cheaper than the wide receivers can get. So that is what you get with Kelce and Ricky Seals-Jones with RSJ just at 3K. But if you're playing like Kelce and like a 4K tight end, it's kind of like, well, yeah, Kelsey's not really a tight end, but you're also giving up some of the advantage by not playing, you know, a 4K wide receiver instead of the tight end.
I think that makes a lot of sense, that if you can use the salary leverage to your advantage, then you can do it. If not, probably stay away.
Yeah.
Okay.
This week in particular, though, like Kelce 7K, that's kind of stupid, you know, so it's a little bit, I mean, he's like 8K. It's a little bit harder for me to play the double tight end because it's like my goal is Kelce just to absolutely smash the other tight ends. But when he's 7K, I mean, it's such a low price tag that the position stuff, like you said, like almost doesn't even come into play for him too much.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that when we build the best lineup, the shitter guy lineup at the end. So we did this back in like week two, didn't we? We built the shitter lineup, or was that me and Levitan that did it then?
Anyway, I think that was you and Levitan. It was not me.
Yeah, it's the guy who pulls out his phone on the can at 12:45 on Sunday and builds a lineup and throws it in the Millionaire Maker. We see if we can replicate that lineup. Crazy thing is, like, half the week's the lineup's really good.
I love it.
It's not going to scrape the very top end, though. 10-game slate this week for the main slate, and that's what we're talking about. So no London game, no Sunday Night Football, none of the Island games are on there. We got four teams on bye. Is there any huge difference in your mind between a 10-game slate and, like, a 13-game slate like we've been having?
I like them a little bit more for tournaments because I feel like the chalk condenses a little bit more most weeks. Like, some weeks are exceptions, and I think it's always easier to play small field tournaments when the guys that are, you know, 25% in MME get, you know, pushed up to 40-45% in small field. It makes kind of those player fade decisions a little bit easier for me. So I think that's a difference, but the flip side of that is it's harder to get really good plays at like 2%. You know, field exposure. Like that one week, you know, Saquon Barkley was like 2% owned. You know, it was pretty insane. It's harder to find those because there's just not as many plays. But I do think the chalk condensing helps the way that I play.
Is it pretty telling to you that, like, I played Alexander Mattison in every lineup last week the moment Dalvin Cook went out, and I was like, this is going to be great. He's not going to be as high owned as he should be because this news came out so late, and there's just a lot of people not checking their lineups or don't want to go back and go through the hassle of it all. Then I checked the PME contest. He was like 64% owned. I was like, oh. Turned out it was a great move, but still, it's pretty high.
Yeah, I played him everywhere too. Like, I think when you get cheap running back chalk, it's worth it. He was at ETR in our value rankings. Generally, we cap out on the week of players, maybe like a plus 4 or 5 value. We had him at like a plus 9.5 value, you know, by far the highest of the week. And when you get that, especially at that salary level and that position, I think you just play it. But as far as the field adapting, we saw that week one with Mostert too. Like, I was shocked at how much Mostert was played once, what was it, like Trey Sermon was inactive, I think was the impetus there. I was like really surprised how chalky he got. So it does seem like people are paying attention, you know, a little bit more than in the past. We've seen this in NBA too, where these late scratches aren't as advantageous as they once were.
The biggest thing, I guess the difference between Madison and why he's a must play, even at like $5,400 with no Dalvin Cooks, I think that we had the blueprint of what was going to happen with his workload when he was the solo back. He was just going to play all the time. We knew Amir Abdullah would get in there a little bit, but we knew he'd be involved in the receiving game, get all the goal line work, and if they were going to carry the ball 25 times, he was probably going to get at least 18 of those carries. Where guys in the similar range that people were like, I like Damian Harris, I know a lot of people liked Fournette, people like Damian Williams, those didn't feel like free squares to me. Those felt like good plays with potential upside, but not anywhere near. I think that there's a differentiation between someone like Madison and his role and some of these other guys that you don't really know what they're up to.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely helped having that week. I think it was week three data point when Dalvin was out. And that week was like, you know, is Abdul going to take the pass work? Is he not? And it was full workhorse role for Alexander Mattison. So, I mean, essentially, it was like playing Dalvin Cook at 5,500. I mean, he's not quite as good as Cook. There's a little bit more risk on the efficiency side. But at the end of the day, it was like almost like playing Dalvin Cook at 5,500, you know. And if it was Dalvin Cook at 5,500, he'd be 95% owned. So even at 60 was probably still pretty good play.
And there's a big difference between like $5,500 and $4,000 at running back if someone you want to put in too for one of these quote unquote free square guys. So just keep that in mind when this information pops up going forward. Like it has to be the right guy, the guy that you need to go at. Running backs for week number six, Christian McCaffrey appears as if he will be back. He is priced, I guess, where he's been priced most of the year. He's below $9,000, but he's by far the most expensive running back on the slate. So it's McCaffrey, Eckler, Dalvin Cook, who is also right now expected to be back, Aaron Jones, Nick Chubb, and Zeke. That's $7,000 to $9,000 at running back. I don't really know what to make of these top-end guys. I kind of just want to play McCaffrey, but if I play like all those other expensive guys, it's going to be really tough to do. But the reason that I've been winning money this year is because when Derrick Henry is in a good matchup, play Derrick Henry. Place guys like Devontae Adams. Find value somewhere else. And like McCaffrey and Eckler appear to be the two guys right now because of their receiving game work. And we don't know with the health of McCaffrey, so it really just becomes Eckler. This might actually be a week to jump on McCaffrey. You probably, for one time this year, get lower than, you know, 25% ownership kind of thing.
Yeah, if you get him underplayed by the field, he's a phenomenal play. I mean, it's just such an incredible role when you're getting all the goal line carries, you're getting nearly, you know, like 20 to 25% of your team's targets. I mean, we've seen so many games where McCaffrey's racking up 8-9 targets and he catches these at such a high rate too. So that's like seven catches for 50 yards. That's like two touchdowns you're starting with for basically free. So it's pretty nuts. And he's got the big play upside. It's a good matchup against Minnesota. So yeah, he looks pretty underpriced to me. And I do in general this week, I like a lot of the mid-tier running backs. I think there's a lot of upside going balanced, but McCaffrey's just, you know, such a good play that it's probably worth trying to get him in.
Can I predict the running backs that you like this week?
Yes, I'm sure you can grab them all.
Let's see. We'll play this Family Feud style. So you can give me the X or you can give me the check on the guys that you really like this week, okay?
Okay, I'll make... Let's say there's four guys in this mid-tier range, and I'll give you the X or the check.
Darrell Henderson.
Check.
DeAndre Swift.
Number one.
DeAndre Swift.
Check.
Darrell Williams.
I got to look at Darrell Williams. I think he's a good play with... He was not the guy I was thinking of, so it's an X. It's an X. No more explanation. X.
Okay. Joe Mixon.
He's very close. I'm still a little worried about health.
So I got the top two is what you're saying. Now I need to go down like with the rest of my family. This is my crazy uncle. This is like my loose aunt over here when we have to do our descriptors for Family Feud. Chase Edmonds, Devontae Booker.
No, one of these you should get because I play him every week, and he just went nuts on Monday Night Football when I didn't play him on the main slate.
When you didn't play him on the main slate, who the hell played on Monday Night Football? Oh, Jonathan Taylor? Really?
Yeah.
His efficiency was really high in that game. I'm still worried about his usage.
He's just so good, man. I know really running backs don't matter, blah, blah, blah. Jonathan Taylor is very good. And I mean, it's freaking Houston. So
why is he a better play than Antonio Gibson?
We're seeing Jonathan Taylor... Well, first of all, he's playing Houston. Like, I'm also like, I know Gibson scored two touchdowns last week, but like slightly worried about the injury he's playing through. And in a game where it's a negative game script and McKissick, like they're still using McKissick in all those spots, you know, in the passing down spots, the 2-minute drill. So I think the floor on Gibson's like definitely scarier than it is on Jonathan Taylor in this matchup.
So you like these, like the $6,000 range at running back.
Yeah.
What about
Josh Jacobs a little bit too. A player I don't usually like, but he's getting the last 2 weeks, like Drake has not played much. So Jacobs actually been utilized in the pass game. And then he's got, you know, a complete stranglehold on the goal line role.
He does. And the price is pretty good at $5,900. I just worry that like if we're looking for ceiling plays here, why Jacobs at 59? Like, I don't think that he's going to be highly owned. Yeah. Maybe that's like your leverage, but I also don't think that like Joe Mixon is going to be lower owned or like be highly owned either. They'll probably be around the same. And well, I don't know what's going on with Joe Mixon in terms of the injury. I know that Samaje Perine is not going to play and that Chris Evans is going to play, but why does the internet try to make Chris Evans a thing every week when he's never been a thing before? I don't get it.
I don't know. I'm not on the Chris Evans train. I do like Mixon. Like, I'll keep an eye on that. And what he does in his practice. But as far as Jacobs goes, like I looked at this last week, the same consideration, like, does he have a ceiling? And if you look back going to the start of last year, he's got a couple of 30 plus point DraftKings games. He's got a couple, I think like around 25 ish, like, you know, 4 out of 18 games, like hitting 25 plus, like that's not that bad of a hit rate for what people consider Josh Jacobs. And I also think, if you look again, he's had 5 targets in each of the last 2 games. That's 9 catches. That's a big deal for Josh Jacobs. I don't know if that continues exactly, but the efficiency hasn't been there on the ground. If he has one game where he's efficient on the ground, like if we get a 100-yard game with a touchdown and he's actually contributing in the pass game at 5,900, I don't think it takes a ton for him to hit like a pretty reasonable ceiling. You know, with that said, on our ceiling projections, we certainly have like Swift and Henderson, like meaningfully higher, even though our base projections like somewhat close.
Yeah. The median projection, I'm looking at our runthesims.com projections right now and like the baseline. And once again, runthesims.com/Mayo to get your hands on the optimizer and all of the tools and the projections that are in there. Like DeAndre Swift's ceiling is above 30 points. Like that's like the ceiling projection. Daryl Henderson's above 31 points. Josh Jacobs is at 22 points. Which is probably
that
too
seems
low.
Like that seems a little bit off the gap step. I have Josh Jacobs with a 22 point ceiling, but I think our ceiling's like a little bit lower of a threshold. Cause then I have like Swift and Henderson at like 26 ish. Like that's sort of the gap that I have. I mean, he's not the biggest. If you're going to get Jacobs at the same ownership as these other guys, like you should not be playing him, but people really do not like to play Josh Jacobs.
They don't, but how much more owned do you think that Damian Williams will be? Who's $100 cheaper? Because well, he might not have the consistency in the baseline of Josh Jacobs. I would concede that. I would say that his ceiling is probably higher in this matchup with the Packers.
I don't know if it is. I think I'd go with Jacobs right now, you know, with the way Khalil Herbert mixed in, like, in a weird, strange amount of the time, especially while the game was still close last week. I would take Jacobs over Damian.
I think that you would score more points more often than not by taking Jacobs over Damian Williams. But I think if you were going to get one of those big hits, it would be Williams and not Jacobs in this spot, because the way that Williams would end up getting to his ceiling would be the Packers jump out early against the Bears. He still controlled all of the inside the 10 work. I think it was 3-1 inside the 5. It was 3-0 for Damian Williams. And he was the first one out there. They used Herbert towards the end of the game in that spot. So you have that touchdown upside that if they get in close, because Fields isn't calling his own number from Damian Williams, and he's the preferred player in the passing game if they're going to come back. That's just going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I've gone to bat for Josh Jacobs as much as I'm willing to.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of the other guys in the lower fives then. Devontae Booker was a hot name on like the fantasy football waiver wire this week. Is it likely that he's going to play 90% of the snaps? Because even against the Rams, like, I'd take that.
I think my initial read on this slate, and we'll see as it goes on, but I think like there might be an opportunity in tournaments to fade these guys stepping into roles that, like, as you started off the show, like these guys are not Alexander Mattison. And I think Booker is going to really control the running back touches. Like, we have him for 16 carries, which is, you know, a pretty big number in a game where you're a decent sized underdog. We have him for 4 targets, but like, even still, it's in a spot that's a pretty risky against Rams, who could control this game quite a bit. We could see the play volume on both sides be a little bit low in this game. We also get, you know, Sterling Shepard, even though Galladay is likely going to be out, we get Sterling Shepard back, Darius Slayton back, Kadarius Toney's playing great. I think the target share is good, but like not like we have him for four targets. I think that's about appropriate. So I think he's going to put, you talk about low ceiling. Like, I don't think the ceiling's here. I think he could have enough volume that he churns out a mid-teens game, which is like fine. But I think there's routes to disappointment here, and he could be played at a higher rate than these guys that are 1K more and have much higher ceilings.
I could see that. But what about Darryl Williams at $4,900? Like, are we sweating Jerick here, or is this going to be Williams' job?
So I think Williams is a solid play at 4,900. I think there's a bit more touchdown upside than Booker has. Also, like that $500, like I'm not going to sneeze at it. Pricing's pretty tight, especially if you want to get in some of the other KC guys. But like, we had CEH as, you know, kind of a borderline play at 4,900 a couple weeks ago. And he ended up getting there where he got the bonus and caught a receiving touchdown. I think that was the game against the Chargers. But like, I don't think we're, I mean, I think we're going to see a pretty pass heavy script from Kansas City. They haven't been throwing to the backs a whole ton. And I don't know. I kind of feel similar to Booker where like, he's probably going to be fine, but even if he scores a touchdown, I think you're going to need two out of him, even at this price.
Are you proud of me that I didn't bring up JD McKissick at $4,800?
I am. This is growth. But if he was 4K, you would have brought him up.
I mean, I still might play him at $4,800, depending on how many guys from this game that I end up using and how many like different combinations of players that I want that I can stack him with Heinicke if I want to, because if McKissick's going to have a good game, Heinicke's going to be the one passing it to him. It's not like JD McKissick's going to, you know, break one off tackle for 75 yards.
I do think players like McKissick get pigeonholed as low ceiling guys, but I think their projections are actually super volatile because it's so game script dependent, where he could, if it goes a certain way, he could catch so many balls that like he actually does have a ceiling. So I do think those guys are a little bit more volatile, and volatility is good in tournaments. If people are playing, you know, assuming the one side of it, you can just sort of assume the other side of it.
I think that Darryl Williams is the play from this range. I think that he is probably the safest in terms of just baseline points, and he probably has the highest ceiling of this bunch. But I ran 10,000 sims of this slate. It's still early in the week. Guys aren't officially in or officially out as of yet for the Sunday games. But it was pretty telling that two guys that pop up in the optimal lineup over 5% of the time are JD McKissick and Brandon Bolden.
Wow. That's surprising. I guess those are the two types of guys I mentioned, though, where,
yeah, when things go like right, it goes really right.
Yeah, like they're not, because they're not big play guys, people think they're low ceiling, but they also could catch eight balls, like if it goes a certain way.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with this Patriots backfield. It's kind of a tough scene. So the way that we've been talking around this, we've talked some value. You know, there's a 4K running back that you can most definitely play. There's like three 5K running backs you can most definitely play. There's a bunch of guys in the sixes, and McCaffrey's bat, and Eckler just continues to kill it. That leaves Cook, Aaron Jones, Chubb, and Ezekiel Elliott. Four guys, $7,100 to $7,700. That feels like that will be the under-owned zone of running back this week.
You're going to get some phenomenal ownerships there. Aaron Jones, after last week where he got a little bit of steam as like the popular leverage play off Davante Adams, I played him a decent bit, you know, and then Davante Adams goes off, AJ Dillon's involved. I don't think anyone's going to play him. And I do think he's like he's the same Aaron Jones he is. Like, I don't think he's the type of guy where you can point to last week and be like, oh, he got all the touches, he's going to get them all again.
Aaron Jones, like, if somehow you could figure out, like, Aaron Jones is going to have four games where he is, like, the best running back in fantasy per year. Nick Chubb is kind of the same way, too. Maybe just play those two together and hope this is the week that they do it.
I said to someone last week, I was like, Chubb doesn't project well, but I like him. But it's sort of insane that you're basically playing a guy hoping to get a 50-yard touchdown. And we got it last week. We just didn't get that second touchdown out of him because Kareem Hunt had two short touchdowns. But he's a nightmare to project. But like, no one's going to play this range. So it's a very interesting range. I got burned trying to play Cook when people were scared on injury 2 weeks ago.
I did too.
He clearly wasn't healthy. I'm like at 7,700, Pat, I'm tempted to go back to that, but I want to keep my eye on the practice reports. Like if he's like DNP, 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 and then like plays, like I'm not touching him. But if he practices, actually, I don't know what his practice status was yesterday. But like, dude, I get sucked into these injury guys, which it's frustrating because you see last week, like with Mixon and Hockenson, you know, when they're not right, they're not, you know.
Yeah, but there's a difference between a banged up Joe Mixon and a banged up Dalvin Cook, because Mixon's just not that good. Like, he's just, there's a reason that he never gets above like $6,300, because that's what he does. That's his entire. When was the last time Joe Mixon had like gigantic games on a consistent basis? Like, he might have a one off here and there, but like, he's like the floor. He's like better Mike Davis.
Yeah, his pass down role, he kind of reminds me of Josh Jacobs last year, actually. Remember Josh Jacobs last year, like after week one, we're like, oh man. And it's kind of funny because I was just touting Josh Jacobs with the pass catching role, but it was like after week one, I was like, he's going to do it. He's going to catch passes this year. And then like with Joe Mixon, that was kind of the thing this year. Like, he's going to do it. He's going to catch passes. And then I don't know if it's because he's banged up or not, but the last few weeks has been somewhat disappointing in that regard. By the way, Alexander Mattison was a DNP yesterday, and Cook was a limited practice. So I'm just going to blindly play Dalvin Cook and not look at anything else the rest of the week. That's all I need, Pat.
Well, what's Madison's injury? Is it like, you were too good last week? Calm down.
Shoulder injury. I don't think it's like serious, but I mean, Dalvin getting back to practice, I just keep thinking like, why wouldn't they just rest Dalvin one more week? Then they have the bye week, but.
Yeah, I made that mistake last time, the 2 weeks ago, because I played Dalvin Cook like you did. And it was my assumption. It's like, well, if you're going to bring back Dalvin Cook and he has this injury, I assume he's like close to 100%. Like, why else would you bring him back? And no, not the case.
I guess the key here, if you're going to play one of these guys with injury question marks, you get the ownership has to be low, right? Like, you want the reward to be there because you are like, there's no dismissing. You are taking on a little bit of risk. But dude, this range, like, we went over like the cheap plays, the 6K plays, McCaffrey, people aren't going to be able to play this range of guys. So they're really intriguing to me if you can figure out a way to fit it in. It's going to be tough to fit in, though.
Yeah, like you said you like Jonathan Taylor earlier. Like, why? I would find $500 and get up to Zeke. Like, I would punt somewhere else. Like, I just think that's such a better play, Zeke over Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, I like JT more. I'll bet you JT straight up versus Zeke this week.
All right, yeah, you want to get some of your
I just want to lose more money to you.
Smart.
Can
smart.
I get plus 120?
No, you're not getting the plus 120. I will. You know what? I will give you plus 120. How about that?
Let's go.
We'll go $50 because that's what we've been betting. So $50. You win 60 if Jonathan Taylor outscores Ezekiel Elliott.
Okay, I'm already getting trounced on Brandon Cooks versus Odell Beckham, and then like, I don't even know, LaVisca Chenault versus unnamed player.
we have to go back and check the tape. I have someone against LaVisca Chenault. I assume I'm winning.
Yeah, you're probably.
I think it's like Jamar Chase or something like that. Like someone just ridiculous.
No way I would.
No, you know no who it is? It's Debo Samuel is who it is.
No, I don't think I would have taken Visco over Debo. I was big on Debo.
Okay.
God, I'm going to punch myself in the face if I did that one, because I like Debo.
Whoever remembers who it was. Yeah, I don't want to go back and check. I'm sure someone out there has figured it out. You made a good point about the ownership on the injured guys, and that will dictate when you're playing them as well. I would also throw in, you got to make sure that they're good at the same time. Like, Dalvin Cook is a top five running back when he's right. Mixon isn't. I think that there is a difference. Like, you have to be able to parse that out in your mind that, hey, if I'm playing Cook, his upside is 45 DraftKings points. So, you know, it's worth the gamble at 3% with a guy who's banged up versus someone like Joe Mixon. It's like, oh yeah, he's 1% owned, but you know, what's he going to score here? 27 points,
right?
Maybe at best case scenario. Like, I think that should factor into it when the price is still pretty big. Like, when guys are above $6,000, I think you have to factor that into it.
Yeah. Ceiling matters, whether it's someone you're playing or someone you're fading, like just kind of understanding if you're taking a risk and playing some guy, you want to be able to be paid off in a big way. And same thing, like if you're fading a guy, you know, the guys that are easy to fade are guys you don't think can really hurt you, which is kind of like how I feel about Devontae Booker this week. Like, I'd be surprised if he really hurt me, you know? So
play Devontae Booker, because it's going to hurt Leone. healthy snacks have a bad reputation. And let's be honest, most don't taste very good. Yeah, that's a thing. They don't fill you up, and they certainly do not satisfy your cravings. This episode is sponsored by Monk Pack, who makes snacks that taste like our favorite sugary treats, but with 1 gram of sugar or less. I don't even do keto, but it's just better for me, and I feel better when I have the Monk Packs rather than eating this garbage from the grocery store. So you can get the Monk Pack Keto Granola Bars. They contain just 1 gram of sugar, 2 to 3 grams of net carbs, and they're only 140 calories. They're gluten-free, grain-free, plant-based, non-GMO, with no soy, trans fats, sugar alcohols, or high-intensity sweeteners. This is what I eat after I go work out, whether it's a run, whether it's a lift. I just pump the Monk Pack bars into me and I feel great afterwards. I'm not giving back all the calories that I've just burned, and I do feel full. And they're perfect for a quick breakfast between Zoom calls, a guilt-free dessert, whatever it is. They taste incredible. They're really, really good. Most of these ones just taste like absolute garbage, but not Monk Pack. And you can't beat the low sugar nutrition that they provide. And by shopping online, you can avoid another trip to the grocery store by getting Monk Pack delivered right to your door. I'm obsessed with these bars, and I probably eat more than I should, but that's okay. To make sure that I'm always fully stocked, I signed up for a subscription to my favorite flavors, which saves me 10% on every order and ships them automatically to me. Try it for yourself and you'll see. And we have a special deal for the listeners of the Pat Mayo Experience. Get 20% off your first purchase of any Monk Pack product by visiting monkpack.com and entering our code MAYO at checkout. And Monk Pack is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you don't like it, for any reason, they'll exchange the product or refund your money, whichever you prefer. To get started, go to MUNKPACK.com and select any product, then enter the code MAYO at checkout to save 20% off your purchase. Monk Pack, delicious, nutritious food you can count on. And we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes 3-putt with the tournament out of the line. So if you feel like you come up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to GetRoman.com/Mayo now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/Mayo and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/Mayo now to get 15% off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/Mayo. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment. Wide receivers for the week. Devontae Adams is $9,000, which actually seems like a pretty fair price for what he's been up to. I think he's on pace to beat the receiving record at this point. Looking back, I'm just doing a quick scan of what he did against Chicago. He's been pretty limited by Chicago over the years. I mean, at least last year he was. 6 catches in both those games, which is like low for him at this point. Did score a touchdown because that's what he does. Can you feasibly play Devontae Adams at $9,000? Like, that's... how do you build the rest of your lineup?
It seems like it's a tough week for it. That's where, you know, the Ricky Seals-Jones punt comes into play quite a bit. I mean, Adams is just so absurd. We have him as the top projected value at the wide receiver position, even really? At 9K. It's not straight points per... we don't do straight points per dollar. We like kind of have a fixed value in there because I think like straight points per dollar overly inflates the cheap guys. It's just a visual thing, you know, but we have Adams like... I mean, we have him projected for almost 25 DraftKings points, which is pretty insane, but just such a unique combination of huge targets, huge catch rate, a red zone role that we don't see out of wide receivers that often. And this year, he's even had a little bit more success down the field. You know, the yards per catch is kind of up like somewhat meaningfully from last year. I don't know if that lasts, but yeah, I mean, you could play him. I have a tendency to think the field is going to figure out a way to play him after what he did last week. I think he's still going to be in, like, he's not going to be super popular just because it's going to be a squeeze with the KC guys and with CMC, but I could see it somewhat spread out among those high-end players this week.
I found me and 75% of my closest friends figured out a way to play Davante Adams, Derrick Henry, and Alexander Mattison last week, all in the same lineup. So I think you can figure it out if you want to turn the Rubik's Cube and just take some punts at position. And last week, Ricky Seals-Jones was the punt. Him or Dan Arnold were the two guys that you could just put in your lineup. Like, oh, I saved all the money. Great. And Tony.
That's where I think Darrell Williams gets popular. Devontae Booker gets popular. I think we could see Darnell Mooney maybe get popular, and the punt tight end probably is popular. Like, we could see more double tight end just because, again, like, it's just a unique price on Kelsey, and then you get the real punt. So I don't know. I'm struggling to see what the field's going to do early on. The field does go extreme studs and duds. There is an opportunity to go balanced, and like, there's a bunch of guys with pretty high ceiling if you go the balanced route.
I mean, obviously McLaurin is going to be super popular because of that game. I have no qualms about playing him. Just $7,100, like, inject that into my veins. But the play that I think I like the most, and I'm really surprised, maybe it's because the pricing came out early, Michael Pittman's too cheap at $5,500.
Yeah, Pittman's a really solid play. He's in our top 10 wide receiver values for the week. We only have one player that's a better value that's cheaper than him. That's T. Higgins, but we have them like really close. So yeah, I mean, the week one, I was super disappointed in Pittman's target share. And I was kind of like, I think my bias affected me a little bit, where I was so, you know, sometimes you just get so frustrated seeing the same thing over and over again that at some point you just wave the white flag. And I was sort of there with Pittman after an off season of hyping him up and seeing Indianapolis spread things out so much week one. And I was like, you know, he had a 10.5% target share. Since then, 33% target share, 33% target share, 25%, 20%, you know, for a net of like 24% on the season. So he's back in good graces and, you know, looking like he's going to have a breakout year.
Before we scale back up to the top and try to find maybe some one-offs, and we'll talk about stacks in a sec, Amon-Ra St. Brown is $4,200 against the Bengals. 8 targets each of the last 2 weeks. It's 7 catches. Like, that's the Tony of this week, isn't it? I mean, not obviously he's not going to score like 500 DraftKings points, but like, that's the play. That's the play that you're looking at in the low 4,000s.
He's the pump play. Like, I think the pump plays early. I mean, it's early in the week. The pump plays I see are him, Mooney, and Mecole Hardman, maybe just because of the game environment.
Yeah, but there's no reason to play. I mean, okay, put it this way. If you play Mecole Hardman, then you're going to be extremely right at $4,200, but you're going to be extremely right with like 20% of the field on your side. Like, that feels like such an easy fade from that game.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I kind of think balanced, the more we're talking through this, is going to be really fun because people are going to play these wide receiver, like even Amon-Ra St. Brown, like that could go bad. You know, it's not like that's guaranteed to go well. I don't even know if the ceiling is necessarily all that great there. So I probably try and stick in like the 5 to 6K range and make it team uber balanced lineups, Pat. That's the way to go this week in tournaments.
I mean, I can see it. I'm just trying to find who else is pretty cheap that you could play. Like,
well, that's the thing though. If there's not a lot of guys, that means it's going to get condensed on the same guys. And then you're just fading that build and those guys.
Well, you can't, but
you almost don't even need them to do bad. You just need them to like that build to not be,
not go great.
The one that gets the ceiling performances.
Like, instead of playing Mecole Hardman from the Chiefs Washington game, could you play DeAndre Carter at $3,000 instead as like the punt wide receiver from that game if you wanted to?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. We'll see if Diami Brown's back this week. I thought I saw he was practicing, but I mean, Carter or Humphreys, I guess you could. I think that is a way to clear up space and get a player that individually is going to be unique. Like, people are not going to play those guys, I don't think.
I don't think so either, but everyone, I do believe that Hardman's going to be chalky here.
Yeah. Hardman's going to be chalkier. I wonder if people will play Van Jefferson. I know he was kind of popular with his price tag a few weeks ago and then disappointed. He's pretty cheap.
That's
fan
tough
of him, but
it's just like, I mean, if you're going to play Van Jefferson, he's going to be more popular than DeSean Jackson. Well, DeSean Jackson has a lower percentage of actually hitting. He's going to hit in exactly the same way if he hits.
Yeah. Those DeSean Jackson kind of breaks my mind in terms of how to approach a player like that with like absolutely zero floor whatsoever. Cause you're playing tournaments, you're playing for the ceiling. And I mean, he legitimately had a game where he could have got 360 yard touchdowns. and Stafford blew two of them and then finally hit the third. But at the same time, even though you're playing tournaments for ceiling, you know, if you're playing like a small field or something, like having a guy not kill you isn't like you want the ceiling, but the fallback of having him not derail your lineup because he put up, you know, a goose egg, basically, we can't completely ignore that value.
No, I think there are better positions to punt if you need to, but with Quintez Cephas out for the year with his shoulder injury, Hawkinson still banged up. I know I brought up St. Brown, but Kadarrell Hodge is $3,000 and he was out there the moment that Cephas ended up getting hurt. So you had like Khalif Raymond, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Kadarrell Hodge. But Hodge, like Raymond's up to like $5,000. St. Brown's at $4,200, and then you have Kadarrell Hodge, who was good last year with Cleveland when he got some runs. It's just, he's the man. He's $3,000. Like, that could also be a punt if you knew. Like, these are the punts that no one's really going to as of yet, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I have a tendency to think those are more like MME guys versus guys I would really consider, you know, for my hand-built tournament lineups.
Okay. So who are the expensive guys? I mean, that's really what people want to know. I think Pittman and McLaurin are the two guys, like, you basically want to lock in. Keenan Allen seems super underpriced at $6,400 too.
I said this last week when I was talking to Wiggins on our Wake and Rake show for ETR, but he's in that sweet spot. Like, there's a sweet spot of players for receivers in the 6Ks where I kind of just off feel. I'm like, okay, he's a play this week. And that's what Keenan Allen was for me last week. Didn't really hit because we had the huge Mike Williams game, which was kind of good for me just based on tournament ownership. But this week, Keenan Allen pops again, like 6,400, like just knowing what we know about Keenan Allen historically, like this price range of wide receivers is really strong for ceiling. He seems like a really good play to me.
So yeah, I'm just thinking more of like one-offs from this spot. I don't know if I'm going to go with the Charger stack. Maybe I will.
What about your boy, Brandon Cooks?
He's too expensive. I could play, I could play Pittman for $300 cheaper.
I think Cooks is kind of interesting. He's had this absurd target share on the season, but he's coming off two sort of down weeks. Mills actually showed some signs of life last week. This Indy defense, not good. I think Cooks is pretty interesting. If Mills can be adequate like he was last week, and then Cooks gets that huge target share game, which we know he has in him, dome game, I don't know. I like Cooks this week.
Maybe that's the way to play it. Yeah, you can do like a mini correlation in your lineup and play Pittman and Cooks.
We could play the Pat Mayo, Mike Leone bet team. Brandon Cooks, we could throw Odell in there.
Why are you throwing Odell in there?
Dude, Odell last week was a huge disappointment, okay? No ifs, ands, or buts, but 2 weeks ago, that dude should have had like 30 DraftKings points.
Yeah,
like,
but yeah, when you have a guy who can't get him the ball, it's a tough scene.
It's such a tough scene. It really, it's a real tough scene.
I'd rather play Tim Patrick.
Oh, get out of here.
I would.
I'm looking at our projections and they're like right next to each other.
Oh, man. All right. Who else is here? Thielen, like, I think this is a decent week that if you wanted to have popular builds but use a one-off receiver, I think it's a nice week to go back to guys that have disappointed a little bit who are generally pretty popular. Like Cooper Kupp fits that bill. DJ Moore fits that bill. Adam Thielen fits that bill. I don't like Thielen all that much, but I think those are the two guys, Kupp and DJ Moore. If you were just to play them one off, I actually think that they're pretty good.
What do you think? Dallas has been so, you know, boring since the start of the season when they had that game specific plan against Tampa Bay and they threw a ton. They've been running a lot. When I say boring, I mean like they're just not throwing all over the yard. Like I wish. They're playing very well, but is this the week people jump off Dallas receivers? Because you could make a pretty easy Dak double and bring it back with either Myers or Nelson Aguilar or something.
Do you even need to bring it back with the Patriots guy? I feel like you just increase your percentage of being wrong so much that, you know, I can spend the money elsewhere.
I think you do, because I think for Dallas to hit their ceiling, they need to be pushed. You know, when you have teams that don't need to be pushed, like Tampa Bay or Buffalo, even Kansas City, they're just going to put up their points no matter what. You don't have to bring it back. But if we're playing the Dallas stack, like they need to be pushed. And I think you need something from the New England. And I think Myers and Aguilar are cheap enough that they would be worth putting into that lineup.
I have a feeling I'm going to lose a bunch of money on Dallas this week because I bet them just out of the gate at 3.5. I was like, man, this is going to be like 7 by the time kickoff has. It went to 4, then it went back to 3.5. Who is betting on the Patriots here? What are they seeing that I'm not seeing?
I don't know. The Bill Belichick alert just wears strong on people, I guess.
I know. Like you feel like Dallas should just wax the Patriots, right?
I think so, man. I think Dallas is really good. I do. I've liked Dallas coming into the season, though, so my priors on them are pretty strong.
I didn't like Dallas coming into the season. I just figured they were the same. Maybe the reason is because Dallas has been overhyped, like, anytime they showed, like, a pulse for the past decade, like, oh, my God, Dallas, best team in football, one of the top three teams. And they just clearly weren't, but they might actually be now, that people are a bit like, eh, are we sure about Dallas?
Feels like Cleveland, too, the past few years. This is the year for Cleveland.
Cleveland's sneaky good. I think they beat the Cards this week. Cards are banged up.
I do think Cleveland's a very good team. I think, God, if Baker could just ever take that step, it's just not happening, man. It's really frustrating.
Robbie Anderson. But we'll talk about that in stacks because that's just fun times. Fun times with Robbie Anderson. If Darnold could hit him when he's wide open, you know, problem solved.
Dink will disown me if I don't talk about Marquise Brown because he's on a real big Marquise Brown kick, but he's shown like an incredible ceiling this year. And that includes a game where he dropped 3 touchdowns.
Yeah. But I now think that after watching him on Monday night and people, you know, the 3 touchdown drop game that has been spun into a positive narrative for him because, hey, he should have caught 3 touchdowns in that game. Like he's always wide open. He's a top 5 fantasy receiver so far this season. So I just don't like receivers against the Chargers. Receivers really haven't done anything against the Chargers this year for ceiling purposes.
The Chargers dare you to run the football. You know, they know what they're doing analytically. Like they want you to run the football and that bears out. And like our pass rate over expectation for defenses, Chargers teams against the Chargers have the lowest pass rate over expectation. And I saw a stat too. Like they play 8-man fronts the least percent of the time. So I do think Marquise Brown is one of those classic, you know, play him when people don't play him, don't play him when people play him type of guys.
And then like Boykin and Bateman could be back this week as well. Sammy Watkins, I'm not sure if he's going to play or not with his hamstring injury, but you're now actually throwing more wrenches back into the system where not every pass. I mean, it's like you drop back to pass. It's like, well, there's Sammy Watkins. He's just limping and he's not open. There's Devin Duvernay. I don't even know who that is. And then you have Marquise Brown. It's like, maybe he has like a half step of separation. Good enough. Let's chuck it to him. Now, like they might have real guys back.
Yeah. I mean, Sammy, they are very condensed though, even if you include Sammy in that. I think Mark Andrews, Marquise Brown, Sammy on the season are at like 65% of the team's targets.
Yeah, so, but now you bring back in 2 guys who are better than Sammy Watkins at this point.
Right. But if Sammy's, I mean, long-term, I agree with you, but like if Sammy's banged up this week, you bring those guys in, they might come along slowly. I still think he's got a couple weeks of, he's going to stay at a 20%+ target share guy. It's just a matter of like Baltimore's throwing way more than they ever have in the past. And in this matchup specifically, we could see that revert. So that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. Tight ends. Travis Kelce, $7,000. Play him. Then if you're playing him, we don't need to worry about anyone else till we get to, I guess, Schultz. I don't understand how teams don't cover Dalton Schultz because he's just wide open every play. I guess there's just too much talent on that team. You could get away with that. That's still too expensive for me. But I can't envision myself not playing Kelce. If I play 10 lineups, Kelsey's going to be in like 7 of them or 8 of them, maybe 10 of them.
It's a pretty wild price tag for Kelce. You know, coming off a disappointing game, squeaky wheel narrative. Not that you need any sort of narrative to play Travis Kelce at 7K. I don't remember the last time he was this cheap. Maybe my memory is just bad, but I feel like there's a really low price tag for him. So I'm mega tilting, Pat, though. A bunch of guys that like I wanted to buy low on just went nuts in primetime games last week. Mark Andrews being one of them. Do you know how, like how I needed that game on a main slate to get unstuck on like a year and a half of playing Mark Andrews?
Mark Andrews
didn't happen.
Well, he's actually in a really nice rebound. I don't think that people are going to own Mark Andrews. And I think that that is a spot on the field where you can attack the Chargers pretty well is with Mark Andrews.
Now I have to play Mark Andrews. People got to play him after that game Monday night. They yeah, got
but,
to, right?
But Kelce 7,000. Who's playing Mark? I'm filling out my lineups. I can click. Like, this is why I don't think that either McCaffrey or Devontae Adams is going to garner the same sort of ownership as maybe projections say, is that Kelce is the actual play that people will do because he's the cheapest of the three.
Yeah. And then RSJ, like, people are going to, like, the punt tight end, his utilization was great. He's someone that the people, you know, like me, who are like, oh, he's an athlete. Why aren't teams using him? He's amazing. And he's like not really good at real life football.
Do you worry that he becomes way too chalky and then just becomes a fade? Because I wish he would have gotten it last week, caught one of the two touchdowns that he dropped in the end zone. Because I had him everywhere. I had him and Dan Arnold. Those were my guys last week.
Yeah.
And they didn't come through. And now we're going to see like a 20% Ricky Seals-Jones. I don't want to do that. I'll play, Mo Alley-Cox instead.
Yeah, I was surprised that he wasn't owned more last week. Honestly, I thought he would be played more than he actually was. So here's my take on tight ends, though. Like, I've really struggled with this position. I do think if you're punting tight end, as volatile as it is, like, I'm okay eating the chalk where, like, I don't know how much leverage you're really gaining, like, making a dart throw on Mo Alley-Cox instead of just eating the Ricky Seals-Jones chalk.
Yeah, but it's not but like this is but, a but, it's not, but it's not like Mo Alley-Cox has been an absolute dud either. Like, he's running the most routes of the past 2 weeks of any tight end on the Colts. He's a big body. He's a touchdown threat if they go down. Mm-hmm. You already mentioned they're playing Houston. Like, I don't think that there's that big of a gap between them. It's a $100 difference, and there might be a 15 times ownership difference.
Yeah, but I'm just like this is the problem I've gotten myself into, is where then I'm like, well, I'm just gonna play TJ Hockenson and Mark Andrews, and then I keep spending too much at tight end for guys that are like put up 13 points and it doesn't matter. So what about like Jonnu Smith's the
no
price, you know?
Jonnu Smith, like, sucks. That's why you don't play him,
dude. Like, Jonnu versus Mo Alley, like, really? Like, you're gonna go to bat for Mo Alley and then you're gonna like poo-poo Jonnu? Come on.
I would rather play the upside of Mo Alley-Cox. What have we seen from Jonnu, especially, I mean, just if you looked at a graph of his usage for the Patriots, how is that going for him?
Dude, I don't want to talk about this, okay? Okay, you're winning this one. You win this battle, all right? It hasn't been good. It's been going down. It was never that great to start. But I just think it's a really cheap price tag for a team that's going to play two tight ends a decent bit, and I think he's got like more efficiency upside than the average tight end. I guess looking at it closer, they'll have a decent amount of pivots at the position, right? Cole Kmet.
Don't play Cole. No, do not. Yeah. They throw 20 times a game.
At some point it's got to change, right?
Does it?
What about, okay, here's a guy I got burned on big time last week.
Cook.
No, it's a player with a high ceiling who's done absolutely nothing this year.
Oh,
God. Mr. Big Bob Tonyan.
Oh, I mean, I thought you were going to say Evan Engram, and I was going to kick you off the show. So
no, I'm surviving. Evan Engram, thank God we got some of these receivers back for the Giants, so I can just like ignore him and not think twice about it.
Who is Arizona's new tight end now that Max Williams is hurt?
I think it is Demetrius Harris.
Yeah, because Darnell Daniels is banged up. He was limited on Wednesday. Demetrius Harris is like the only healthy guy there. I don't know if that means he has a role all of a sudden, but I can actually look into that, whether he does or does not. But that, like, that, he, you want to talk about athletes. Demetrius Harris, athlete.
Is he? I really don't know much about Demetrius Harris.
Just go look at him. He's gigantic and very fast.
Pulling up the player profiler on Demetrius Harris. See what we got here. 6'7", 235. Oh my God. 90th percentile speed score, 85th percentile burst score, best comparable. Oh, I can't do the best comparable. It's one of the guys' names that you always make fun of me for.
Who?
But Darius Green.
Yeah, I mean, that tracks. That tracks a lot.
Oh my God. We're playing Demetrius Harris.
I want to find, at least first, I'm going to look into the routes run right now. Just give me a sec to pull this up, because I think this is actually kind of interesting. Whether if he's just the only tight end that's active for Arizona, like, would you play him?
He was out there. He played 53% of the snaps. So he was the guy who played when Max Williams played 41%. So I mean, he was on track to play all the Max Williams snaps after previously only playing like 10%. Whether he ran routes, I didn't look at. Yeah, I know he was only targeted, I think, one time.
Oh, yeah. Well, I only have a minimum of routes run set at 10, and he did not eclipse that. So
okay. But so this could be tough.
This could be tough. I think that's a bit of a galaxy brain type move. I would listen, just play Ricky Seals-Jones. Just make it easy on yourself, I guess.
What about, I mean, I hate saying this because I feel like he's super low ceiling. And I just went from playing David Njoku 2 weeks ago to not playing him last week. No. And like really having a tough time talking about it. But his teammate Austin Hooper is 2,800.
They isn't. I fell into this trap like 3 weeks ago when I played Hooper and I got bailed out because he caught a touchdown. And yet, guess what? I didn't even really get bailed out because he caught a touchdown and still had like 11 points. He sucks.
Yeah, he does suck. I love Njoku, but his price is too high now.
Listen, man, this is how I've been winning money this year. I started crossing out the people who suck and I don't play them anymore. Very helpful.
Look at this.
Although I'm trying to talk you into Demetrius Harris.
We've gone this whole time at tight end. Like, are people not going to play Darren Waller?
Probably not. No.
God, see, this is what happens to me every freaking week. I figure out a way to pay up for a tight end who's going to score 13 points, and I'm just going to claim that it was a good play because he's 5%.
But the issue with Waller and why no one's going to play him, probably why no one should play him. He's 6,600. Travis Kelce is 7,000.
Leverage, dude. Large.
Go for it. Have it. Let's run through the stacks. Chiefs or the footballs? Which side do you like better to stack up with and build a lineup with?
Probably the football team. Because it's easier? The Chiefs bring back. It's just so much easier.
Do you think?
And I think it's clear, too. Like, I think it's McLaurin, Ricky Seals-Jones. Bring back with Kelce or Tyreek, or I guess Hardman if you really wanted to get cute. But I was gonna side.
Well, here's the thing: I don't know whether it's gonna be popular or not, but having Mahomes, Kelce, and Hill is just so expensive. And logically, McLaurin is the bring back on that. Like if you're going the most expensive options, can you make a team with the rest of that? I don't know. So let's say you play the Washington side in order to save the money, because you do save a ton of money doing it. You play Heinicke, Ricky Seals-Jones, and Terry McLaurin. That's pretty obvious. That's the move. And then you bring it back with, I would say, two Chiefs if I was playing that stack. I'd bring it back with Kelce and Williams is likely where I would go. I doubt people would bring it back with Hill and Kelce, though.
I think you can bring it back with two Chiefs. If you got real saucy in MME too and did McLaurin, RSJ, and like one of those punt receivers, I don't think I would do that. But then you could bring it back with Kelce and Tyreek pretty easily.
Yeah, I'll probably have a few of the Hill, Tyreek, or the Tyreek, Kelce bringbacks. Because I think, you know, just having five guys from that game is going to be... If you do think that this is going to be the game that you need to target, just having as many guys in it as possible. And if it does become one of those condensed games where it's all Hill and all Kelce, which we see, what, 4 or 5 times a year when just both those guys go off and no one else on the Chiefs does anything, then you're basically getting all Patrick Mahomes points anyway. And then you have to hope that Heinicke can stay within like 6 points of him.
Yeah, I think that's valid.
All right. Any of the, I mean, Darnold, Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, like Minnesota's, they're going to give up points. And now everyone is off the scent of them because they've been like a bad team to stack with, like stack against 2 weeks in a row after being the best team to stack against for like the first 3 weeks of the season. I think it reverts back to that. Carolina can take advantage of them through the air. And then you get these low-owned Vikings guys.
Yeah, it's just the Robbie thing is tough for me. I played him a lot last week because he had 11 targets the week before and just didn't do anything with them. And I thought it was really good low own play. But now that we have McCaffrey back to most likely, I just don't know if, you know, the juice is worth the squeeze here on Robbie.
56.5 is the Chiefs Washington over under this week. The next closest one on this slate is Baltimore and the Chargers. How would you think about stacking that game up? I guess is my question.
I mean, we've got an absurd projection on Lamar right now.
So do you play? Do you just play Lamar with Andrews? Do you play him with Marquise Brown? Like, who do you play back on the other end?
The way Baltimore's playing this year, and the way you're hoping Lamar's hitting, you need to bring it back. I think Andrews is probably the best guy to bring it back with, where you're, you know, getting leverage off the popular KC stack. The price is pretty good. I don't think you have to double it. You could, but I don't think you have to. And then the Chargers side, I mean, I think Keenan Allen's a really good play.
Okay. So the other two games that I kind of figured, just in terms of point total, you know, the Cowboys-Patriots game is 51. Where are the Patriots scoring all these points?
I don't know, but like, this is where we could get this sneaky, like Dallas stuff doesn't even project that well for us because, but they're very volatile because they're so game plan specific, right? Like, we just don't know what they're going to do. What if they come out and throw this week or New England presses them? I don't know. This game, even though it doesn't project that great, is catching my eye a little bit. And I think the New England side, you can just like, there's enough guys out there that you could try to guess on one of them. You know, if the game goes the right way, I think the pass volume on New England's going to be pretty high.
So the other one that I was looking at, and this one becomes tough because it's so hard to predict the ones like the Cardinals Browns, that's almost at 50 right now. Kyler's been, he hasn't been bad the past 3 weeks. He also hasn't been good the past 3 weeks. He's not the number one priced quarterback anymore. No one's going to play Kyler Murray anymore. So you play Kyler, DeAndre Hopkins, maybe Demetrius Harris, our guy, to save all the money in the world. Then you can pay for like super solid one-offs. And then you can have like Chubb or Kareem Hunt on the way back. Like that's a very low-owned game stack, like is that game.
Yeah, I like it better for maybe just like some mini correlations versus the full stack.
Like
Hopkins-Chubb? Yeah, I mean, I'm a masochist. I will play an Odell team this week. I also, the one problem with Murray is he's not running as much this year. His pass efficiency is great, but like when you net that out, like the running stuff was so valuable for fantasy. He's still super good. Like he's like clearly one of the top four fantasy quarterbacks. He's just pointing that out that he's like a bit pricey, I think, because he ran like so hot on pass efficiency the first 3 weeks. But I'm interested in Rondale Moore here where, or Demetrius Harris, but like, depending on how you interpret the tight end situation, you know, maybe Rondale Moore gets more touches, gets on the field more if they're just not going to throw to Demetrius Harris. And he's only 4,600. I think him and Christian Kirk are like viable too.
I could see,
or AJ, I mean like any of them.
I could see if you think that I think that Cleveland's going to win this game, which means that they will be leading at some point, hopefully throughout the course of the game. I think that would lead, especially with the pass rush from the Browns, Kyler to run more.
Yeah. I mean, if you're playing Cleveland to win, yeah, I could see, I mean, I could see that. I could see that script playing out. I don't have any problem with that. I'm like kind of broken on the Cleveland rushing efficiency where I've just overridden what our the machine spits out as far as the yards per carry on these guys, because it can't, you know, it seems to have a tough time handling the outlier Cleveland rush game. So Chubb and Hunt aren't going to be played, I don't think, despite their success last week.
Defenses, let's try to make this easy and just throw out some names. Dallas at 32, the Panthers at 29, and where are the Bengals at? Oh, they're still like super expensive. Stupid Bengals. Where's stupid Kansas City? Kansas City, $2,800. I could see being like, if you want the ultimate leverage from that game, play the Chiefs D.
Yeah, Chiefs D is really solid. I mean, game script's going to be negative for Washington.
I'll tell you the floor projection for the Chiefs, not great.
Yeah, I think they're a solid play though. What was the other one you mentioned? The Cowboys.
Yeah, Cowboys at 32.
Yeah, I'm like lukewarm on that one.
I think that they're just going to get to Mac Jones and they keep creating these turnovers. Carolina has the best pressure rate in the league and Minnesota can't block. So that just logically in my mind piles up.
Yeah, Panthers D always seems to be nice leverage too. It screws up the game flow because generally the players have been somewhat popular on both sides and the Minnesota, but that might not be the case this week.
Are there any other cheaper D's that you would even consider? Like Lions D against Cincinnati?
I'd consider, yeah, I think they're like, I'd consider the Ravens just because they're going to face a lot of pass attempts and you can get lucky. Like obviously the point scored side of things is very concerning, But if you're going to face a lot of pass attempts, like there's always a chance to get lucky. I don't think they're like bad defensively. So I could see Baltimore also sort of buying into Arizona's defense this year.
Yeah, but Chandler Jones is out. Like he makes everything run in their defense.
Yeah, that is a big flag for sure. So that's maybe I'll cross them off considering that.
All right, it's time. You ready for this? We're gonna build the shitter lineup. I'm on the can right now. Put my feet up on my squatty potty to make sure that there's not a lot of pressure on my colon and stuff can come out easy. And that way, I have a clear mind in building lineups on Sunday because it is 12:45 p.m. Yeah, p.m. Eastern time for me right now on Sunday. And I don't have a lineup yet. I need to throw a lineup into the Millie Maker, into the giant $3, the new $3, because the other one's already filled. Let's do it. Who are we starting with? Are we starting with Chiefs?
Okay, I think. I mean, Travis Kelce, right? Like that guy who is not clicking Travis Kelce in that situation.
All right. Travis Kelce. He's in. Easy game. Tight end. Figure it out. And don't worry. Shitter guy's not worried about like playing an afternoon slate guy in the flex. He doesn't really care about that.
Not concerned. I'm trying to pull up a lineup on DraftKings so I get the salary right here.
Well, just who do you okay. think? Just
do,
who
do
you
do
think,
we alternate? Do we
no,
alternate?
No. We just kind of talk it out. Like, who are going to be the most popular okay. play? Like, the obvious plays that people are putting in.
People love playing the guy that's filling in from injury without thinking twice about it. You know, Daryl Williams. People are going to hit this KC game.
Do you think they would go Daryl? I think that they would go Booker over Daryl Williams, if I had to guess.
Okay, I could see. All right, I could see Booker. Because don't you think they're gonna like?
Yeah, but I already have Travis Kelce. Why do I want Williams?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so Booker, I'm good with Booker. What about? Do they go double tight end? I think they might. Ricky Seals Jones. You think they do it?
I mean, there's a chance that shitter guy is. Yeah, I mean, yes. Everyone has talked about Ricky Seals Jones this week. Like he's a very clear, obvious play. Chuck him in. So he's at 3,000 bucks.
And yeah, they're going to want to play CMC, don't you think?
I don't know. I think Mahomes is it's Mahomes or Heinicke are the two quarterbacks that people are going to play like randomly. Like, do you think it's Mahomes or do you think it's Heinicke?
I think it's Heinicke. I think it's Heinicke just because of price. Like, maybe I'm over. We'll see as we build, but I think pricing's kind of tight. So I'm going to say Heinicke.
Okay, so we'll throw in Heinicke. I mean, this is the lineup that I'm basically playing, so we're off to a hot start.
We're throwing nails.
So we have about Heinicke, Kelce, Ricky Seals Jones, and Devontae Booker are in right now.
What do you think about Pittman?
I mean,
after he had the big game Monday night, he plays Houston, blah, blah, blah. No?
Yeah, no, I can most definitely see that. Is there a running back that kind of leaps out to you that's not Devontae Booker or the cheap guys? Like McCaffrey, maybe. Is it Eckler? Eckler's been awesome.
Yeah, I think Eckler or McCaffrey, I think people want to pay up for one of them. I have a tough time knowing if like shitter guy is going to be on Daryl Henderson as much as I think he's kind of an obvious play, but I don't know if he's going to feel the same way.
I mean, it's kind of a bummer that we don't know what the like ownership projections on a Thursday morning, not the best, I don't think.
No, it's especially in modern day DFS. It's like self-fulfilling. It's like, oh, you didn't project AJ Brown for ownership, so now I'm going to play him. And then by Sunday, it's like, well, everyone's playing him. So definitely tough on Thursday.
I will say that Daryl Henderson's probably the play. I think people will see that that's a really good play. I don't see why they wouldn't.
Yeah, I guess it's him then. He seems kind of clear to me.
The problem is if we take Booker and Daryl Henderson, we've already used our flex on Ricky Seals Jones. So you don't get one of the expensive running backs. I just don't feel like people.
Yeah, that's where they jam Devontae, buddy.
Okay, we'll do that then. We'll go Daryl Henderson and Devontae and see what happens then.
What's defense are people going to play? I feel like this is your forte.
I don't really know. I find the defense is pretty spread out, to be perfectly honest with you. Dallas D, $3,200.
Okay.
So we have two wide receivers, $5,300. Pittman fits perfectly. That leaves us $5,100 left for a wide receiver.
Okay, let's see. We might have to go down at defense. Maybe not.
Why? Who's like who's the popular guy that we missed out on? Like, I mean, I would say it would be Tony, but everyone's coming back, and everyone knows that.
What about like, T. Higgins seems like he fits, but that might not be that popular. It's a weird range.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be like one overwhelming good play here, does there? That like you can just look at and say, hey, that's a guy.
No, there's not. There really isn't.
But there's not really above that either. Like there's not one guy that really jumps up like, oh man, gotta play him. Because McLaurin would be like the next closest one to like, oh yeah, play McLaurin. But he's $7,100.
Yeah, I wonder if people maybe play like one of these cheap. I don't know what we would do with the salary, but like
what if
St. Brown or something? What if you went McLaurin over Pittman?
McLaurin over Pittman. We have it's a lot of Washington. Yeah, we're just triple stacking Washington.
Wait, that's a double. It's a double. I mean, it's yeah. Heinicke,
McLaurin.
It's a double with a bring back. Go cheap defense. What's the cheap defense?
I don't know what the cheap defense is.
All right, I'm just going to throw, I don't know. I'm just throwing Browns in there. Just cut. No.
You think people want to play the defense going against the 6-0 team or the 5-0 team?
Well, I was thinking like Amon-Ra St. Brown, like maybe like someone will go like cheap wide receiver.
I don't know if he has any traction whatsoever. If people even know who that is.
All right. So Shitter Guy doesn't know who that is. But does he know who?
Hardman.
Probably doesn't know who Darnell.
Hardman is the guy.
Yeah, I guess Hardman, if we're really just loading up this game. Shitter Guy is really hot on this game.
So that means we need to take away. We can either go. I mean, now that we've played
Hardman. Just Chargers.
Chargers?
We'll just do it.
Chargers scored me minus points last week. All right, Chargers D. So the shitter lineup is Heinicke, Booker, Henderson, Devontae Adams, Terry McLaurin, McCole Hardman, Travis Kelce, Ricky Seals-Jones, and Chargers D. Don't mind
we'll
it.
See. Not the game stack. He's high on his correlation.
I don't even think he tried to do it. It just made sense that way.
That's when you know he's going to do it.
I suppose that's true. The guy that we didn't talk about, let's see who the guys that we talked about. Oh my God. I went and ran the Sims at runthesims.com. Do you know who's in the optimal lineup right now?
Who?
Odell. And Vikings D is in there too. Vikings D. Yeah. It must be the salary thing. But I guess, yeah, going up against Sam Darnold, that actually makes sense. All right, dude, I will let you get out of here. Two hats, one mic on. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because you're not two mics. You have two hats. You're one mic. Establish the run. What do you guys got going on over there? You're doing a ton of shows.
Yeah, doing a ton of shows. Got a Saturday morning GPP show with Drew Dinkmeyer. Sunday morning, kind of last minute thing. Wake and Rake with Andrew Wiggins. Dink and I do a tournament recap on Mondays. We also have our NBA stuff launching. So Dink and Mike Gallagher are heading up a great NBA team. So like super pumped about that. You can get, if you're playing season long, we have the draft kit package available now, but also in season DFS, I think it's going to be a smash. So definitely check that out.
I misspoke about Odell. He's only in there because I accidentally hit lock button on Amon-Ra St. Brown and Michael Pittman as we were going through this. So they're in 100% of lineups. So yeah, that's how Odell got thrown into the mix with that one.
Sure. Make your excuses.
That's my excuse for that one. And hey, as a bonus, if you're listening to the audio version of the show, here's a Thursday night showdown mini show. You can also find this up on the Fantasy Football Picks and Bets feed audio wise if you're ever looking for these showdown breakdowns. Enjoy. 2021 week 6 Thursday night football. Bucks at Eagles. DraftKings picks, bets, props, and prize picks. If you missed any of the shows on Mayo Media Network, specifically on fantasy football picks and bets, what are you doing? I know I'm here filling in from Griffin Swanson, but just released Lauren Carpenter's best streams of the week, the dumpster diving deep plays you need to do. Laquan and Scott Simpson have the best starts and the best sits of the week. Pete's Overzet's DraftKings breakdown, first look, and research is already up now. And on Thursday evening, two of the best there is to do it. Like, people tune into my DraftKings show. It's me and Leone on the Pat Mayo Experience on Thursday. Good show, fun show. Leone's great. And then I ask him stupid questions and we have some fun. But on Thursday evening, a show gets released on this feed, sub to it, by the way, with JT Hayes and Tyler Tambellini from Run Pure Sports. And they actually crush NFL and play high volume in DraftKings, put it that way. It's not like me. These guys are playing like my mortgage on DraftKings every single week, probably more, to tell you the truth. So you probably want to tune in to see what they have to say as well. And you can find all of that both on Mayo Media Network for the video version and on the Fantasy Football Picks and Bets audio feed. Find that down in the description. Okay, let's talk about the injuries for this game right now, because it's kind of telling when we look at what's going on here. Initially, Tom Brady had been banged up. He was spotted Tuesday with a wrap on his thumb. He practiced in full on Wednesday, so just expect him to be fine. When I did my rankings show this week with Seeley, we kind of talked it through, and he was like, Pat, you don't need to worry about this, so I'm not going to worry about it, okay? But the guys that are out for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, there's no Rob Gronkowski, so we'll get another Cameron Brate and OJ Howard mess, which we won't be able to predict correct. And frankly, both of them will probably be terrible, because that's just what happens. Lavonte David and Antoine Winfield are both out for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as well. So this depleted secondary gets more depleted, losing their top safety. And Lavonte David and his ability to cover horizontally on the field and get the running backs out of the backfield, his speed to match up with tight ends, I mean, it's going to be a problem out there. If Jalen Hurts can make the throws, it's going to be a real problem. Gio Bernard's going to play. Antonio Brown's going to play. Chris Godwin popped up on Tuesday with on the injury report with a knee and or ankle injury. He was a full participant on Wednesday, but the numbers just haven't been there for Godwin outside of like week one. So he'll be the lowest owned, I'd wager, of the Buccaneers receivers. I don't necessarily mean when we run the sims on this and try to find optimal lines, we'll see if Godwin pops up in it. How about that? On the Eagles side of the ball, Dallas Goedert's on the COVID list. He ain't playing. Zach Ertz is starting. And Lane Johnson, for personal reasons, will not be on the offensive line. So it's you're down one of your main focal points of your passing game and one of the guys who's the best at blocking for you. So expect to see a lot of Jalen Hurts running around in the backfield. So those are the main injuries from this game. Jason Kelce will be playing in this contest for the Eagles, so that's good. And most of their offensive line is back right now. And when we get into the projections for this game, and when we do run the sims, I'm going to customize it to what I think is going to happen in this game, because I think that tools, I mean, you can take the baseline optimization, that's probably better than what I'm going to do, to be perfectly honest with you, but I like to tell myself the story of the game and then run that. So if I'm right on the game, my DraftKings plays will reflect that. But first, I want to talk about Prize Picks, and you can go to prizepicks.com right now. And if you use the code MMNNFL, that's a new code for new depositors. If you use that right now, you get a free $25 if Tom Brady completes a pass in this game. So, and you also get the $100 match deposit. So the best way to kind of rig this, so you come out with maximum amount of money, is deposit $100 at prizepicks.com with code MMNNFL. That's easy stuff. You can find all this in the description too. Link brings you right there. And then deposit $100. That means you'll get a match of $100. So you got a free $100 just for depositing $100. So now you have $200. And then play a $25 entry on the Thursday night contest. I'll fill one out for you right now. And if Tom Brady completes a pass, Tom Brady doesn't even need to be in this lineup. As long as he completes a pass, you're a new player and you have a Thursday night football lineup on prizepicks.com, you'll just get $25. You might as well make the $25 entry, and then boom, the worst you could be sitting there is depositing $100 and having $200. Best case scenario, you win three times your money and then you deposit $100 and then all of a sudden you have $300. So I would highly recommend you take advantage of this. Taking advantage of these sites and like the promos that they're giving away is like the most free money that you're ever going to get. So you might as well try to make that money work for you. So let's jump over to prizepicks.com right now and see what we can find in terms of best plays. The one that I really liked when I was doing my research. So for Prize Picks, you need, if you're going to play Thursday Night Football, you can play the quote unquote like same game one. So up to five guys in the same game if you want to, but you can't double up on the same player and you have to have at least one player from each team in any contest that you're going into. So I went with receptions in this game. So I'm scrolling down. Where are we at here? Oh, Quez Watkins. Yeah, he's actually seen an uptick right now in terms of routes run and snap share versus Jalen Reagor. Here's the issue, though. Quez Watkins doesn't have more than three catches in any game so far this season. And even though there is a beat-up secondary, the offensive line, will it be able to hold up for Jalen Hurts in this contest? I'm not necessarily sure about that. And even with the uptick in snap share, Quez Watkins is just seeing such a low A dot. And if you're going to take advantage of this Buccaneer secondary, you're going to go deep down the field. That leans all Devonta Smith. That leans Jalen Reagor. Quez Watkins, don't know about that one. I like the under on Quez Watkins' three receptions. So, I mean, I need to, at least see what everything is telling me on this. So I go to runthesims.com, and you can do this too. runthesims.com/Mayo if you want a discount. And it's my favorite thing to do with any player prop that pops up. And it's been especially great for Prize Picks so far. So we'll type in Quez Watkins. And the betting line is 3 receptions. And if we just put the juice down to even money, which it would be on Prize Picks, you're not paying VIG on either side of this, although you have to play at least 2 picks and 1 from each team. So we'll try to find someone from Tampa here in a second and see how this goes for us. All right, let's see. Over under 3 receptions. Actual odds, 60%. Okay. Not bad. For the under, it comes out as a push a lot of the time. The median projection is 2. So over 3 receptions hits around 20% of the time. Under 3 reception hits about 61% of the time. And then it's a push the rest of the time. So even if you end up, you know, you can push on your Prize Picks entry. And then if you just get the other side correct, you're still going to win. You won't win 3 times. You'll get like beat down just a little bit, but you'll still end up being a winner. Now, if you take this in the MMN Prize Picks props pool and it's a push, it's a loss because you have to get all 5 correct. And technically, you wouldn't get it correct. A loss is the same as a tie as it pertains to our contest that we're running. But you know, that's tracked on a spreadsheet. That's not what's actually going on at Prize Picks. So I really like the Quez Watkins under 3 receptions. So I have the Philly side all figured out for myself. Now we need to find what is going on the Tampa Bay side. And once again, for runthesims.com/Mayo for that discount, what that just did is take the baseline projections of the game, the perceived pace, the perceived snap share, and then it ran a simulation of that game 10,000 times and then gave me that chart. Here, let's take a look at it again. You can see it's a bit wavy of how it comes in because we're dealing with such low numbers in this game. So you can see the median just comes out at number 2. So there's a lot of the, I mean, almost 20% of the time he goes over this number, but you know, that's 1 in 5. That's 20%. I'll take my chances with Quez Watkins, the under 3 in this spot. So let's try to find one that really works out for us. You know, I actually think Philly covers in this game. So that will somewhat impact what's going on. So we really need to scroll through and see what's what here. Too bad we don't have rushing yards, but let's say 8 touchdowns. Leonard Fournette over under 1 touchdown. Seems pretty good. Rogio Bernard is going to be back, but even when you look at the snap shares from last week, although Bernard had the touchdown, the receiving touchdown, he only played 7 snaps. So Leonard Fournette is touching the ball way more than everyone else. He's still getting involved in the receiving game. What do we have for his receiving number? 22.5? Yeah, it seems a bit high. What about receptions? 3.5? That seems like a lot. Let's run the Sims on that. 3.5 receptions for Leonard Fournette. And just see what that spits us out. And you have to think, too, if you're just playing the baseline for this game, right now, Tampa Bay is a 6.5-point favorite on the road on Thursday night. It's down from 7 as the opener. Now, if that goes to script, which, you know, NFL games don't exactly go to script every single time, that Tampa Bay will be playing from ahead in this game, which means they will be running more often than not, although they are one of the teams that throw above expectation way more than anyone else, like the Bills, the Chiefs, there's a few other teams, but the Bucs are number 1 right now in that category. So you can see more passing attempts than maybe you would think, but in a game where they're winning and could potentially effectively run the ball on the ground, probably fewer targets for Leonard Fournette because they're just not necessary. Plus, you do have Gio Bernard back taking a little bit in that. So let's fill this out on runthesims.com. We'll go to receptions, 3.5 on Leonard Fournette. We'll put the juice back down to 0. And voila, the under will hit 70% of the time on the 3.5. So I think that looks pretty good to me. A 70-30 split. I mean, it's not going to win every single time, but I like the way that this is shaping up. So we're going to go Quez Watkins under 3 receptions for the Eagles side. On the Tampa side, Leonard Fournette under 3.5 receptions. And boom, 3 times your money on the $25 bet. You get win 75. Like I said, use code MMNNFL to take advantage of that match deposit and that free $25 they're giving away for Tom Brady. Hopefully he doesn't like pull a hamstring during, you know, practice and or during warm-up, and then all of a sudden you can't use him anymore. He doesn't get the one pass. But, you know, that's a really bizarre situation to have happened in this situation. So those are the 2 that I like. Quez Watkins under 3 and Leonard Fournette under 3.5 receptions. The double under, never fun to root for unders, but unders tend to hit more of the time than overs do. Plus, all the injury hedges end up going your way as well. So Fournette and Quez Watkins both, like, come up limp on the second play of the game. All of a sudden, guaranteed winner. Nothing wrong with that. Let's talk DraftKings for the week for Sunday Night Showdown. Now, this is what I actually think. I really like this prop tool on RunTheSims.com, but the single greatest tool that there is on RunTheSims.com is the DIY simulator. You can use the optimizer, but this is the one that I really like for single game simulations. It will run everything up to 10,000 times. So let's pick our slate. Right now, do I want afternoon only? Absolutely not. I want captain mode DraftKings Tampa Bay versus Philadelphia. So you can see all of the baseline projections that have been put in right now. You know, the pace of the game, the rush rate, these are all customizable for what you want to do. And I don't want to give away the goods at RunTheSims.com, what the baseline actually puts out. What I want to do is input what I think is going to happen in this game. And you can see it's reflected right now. 28.8 projected points for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 22.6, that is the margin of 3.5. But I have Philly covering this game. I think it's a 3-point game. Tampa tends not to show up in these primetime games, unless it's like the Super Bowl. Just when you go back and look at their performance over the past 2 years with Tom Brady as their quarterback in these spots, it hasn't been great for them. Even Dallas on opening night. I mean, they won that game, but they didn't cover. We go back to that Bears game that they lost outright, the Giants game from last year. They should have lost, but they most certainly did not cover that spot. New Orleans last year, they got absolutely whacked. So I think if Philadelphia covers, this is probably a lower scoring game than maybe we see. Maybe I'm dead wrong on that, but let's drop down the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to 24 points, and we're going to put the Philadelphia Eagles at 21 points. We'll call this a 3-point game. And that probably means there's probably a bit more rush. You know what? We'll keep everything in terms of pace. We'll up Philadelphia's a little bit and say 62 plays in the game. And we'll have the rush rate. 40% looks pretty good for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I actually think the rush rate is going to be a little bit higher because of Jalen Hurts in this spot, where I think he's going to do a lot of running. So we're going to bump that up to 45 and the rushing TD ratio up to 45, where that's probably going to be a little bit down. And it is. We'll just call that an even 35 for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All right. So I've had some of my own custom inputs put in this game right now. So now we need to think, how is this going to go? Well, 8% share of the rushes for Tom Brady? Nah, let's not do that. Let's bump that down to 5%. Is Ronald Jones really going to get 25? I don't think so. I think that those are going to go to Fournette. Bernard will bump up to 10%. We never see Keyshawn Vaughn, but one carry wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility unless he's deemed inactive before the game, and then this will be updated in terms of the baseline projection. So now what do we have? We have 89%. Let's chuck those on to Uncle Leo and bump him up to 68% of the rushing share. So that's the backfield, how I've customized the backfield for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The TD market share of rushing touchdowns, let's bump Leo up to 70%. Let's bump down Ronald Jones to 10% and see what that gives us down here. 101%. All right, let's just we'll take Brady up to 14%. Maybe it's one of those games where he sneaks in 2 touchdowns. Who knows? I don't know. I'm still above my number. All right, let's just keep him back down at 13% and see what that does. There we are. We're back down at 100%. I always like to make it 100%. So, okay, now let's talk about the passing game. We know that Godwin's a little bit banged up, and really it's been Mike Evans who continues just to pile up all of this yardage, not necessarily on the most targets, but his A-dot just tends to be a lot better. That's why his catch rate is a little bit down, but we've bumped him up in terms of the market share to kind of adjust for that, and the TD market share, which really does seem to be his when they get inside the red zone. That's who they tend to be throwing to in these matchups. I actually don't mind these at all, but let's just say it's more of, we just had an Antonio Brown game, and Antonio Brown tends to go boom or bust in these spots. So let's bump him down. Say it's not an Antonio Brown game. We'll just bump his market share down to 10%. That gives us 9% to mess around with. We're going to take down Ronald Jones to 0% of the market share of catches, and we'll bump up Gio to 8, Leonard Fournette at 8, Giovanni Bernard at 9, Antonio Brown down to 10. That still gives us 9 to play around with. Let's just bump up Evans to 23. Let's bump up Godwin to 20%. Do we really think that Tyler Johnson's going to get 8% of the targets? Nah, I don't necessarily think that's going to happen. So we'll bump him down to 5%. Brady at 13% seems about right. Maybe we need to bump up Antonio Brown a little bit more. We'll bump him back up to 12%, and then we'll go 25% and 23% for both Evans and Godwin. So that's how we're going to allocate everything. And you can mess around with the catch rate and the market shares of touchdowns if you want to as well. But this is the way that I'm going to go with it for right now. We could probably even bump up. You know what? I'm going to take away 25%. We're going to bump Mike Evans back down to 23%. Chris Godwin back down to 21%, and we're going to chuck that 4% onto OJ Howard, because maybe that's where you want to attack the Eagles, is in the middle of the field. So that's how we've kind of done everything up for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense. We've adjusted their points down, their rushing TD rate down, and we've bumped up the change up the percentages, because I don't think that you want to say that Evans, Brown, and Godwin are the guys that are going to absolutely dominate in this game. Just, we so rarely see those three guys all come through in the same spot. I think you're better off telling yourself a story, especially if you're only going to play, like, I'm not going to play 150 lineups. If you're playing 150 lineups, the baseline is the best thing to do, because it's going to run together so many different combinations of, you're not going to have those three guys in a lineup anyway. You're going to have two of the three, or one of the three, along with the tight end, or maybe the Eagle side of the ball is the place that you want to go. So that's why, if I'm going to try to optimize my results for fewer lineups, I really want to make a stance on certain players, so it gives me the best optimal lineups possible for the guys that I like the best when I input these numbers. So let's get to the Philadelphia side of the ball. Market share of rushing for Jalen Hurts, 30%. Yeah, I can dig that. And you know what? We're going to bump up his TD market share of rushing touchdowns, because I think that Miles Sanders at 50% and Jalen Hurts at 33% is wild. So let's just make Jalen Hurts a 50% chance of doing this, and bump down Miles Sanders to 30%, and we will bump up Kenneth Gainwell to 19% of the market share of touchdown. Okay, so we have Jalen Hurts at 30% of the rushing share, Miles Sanders at 46, Kenneth Gainwell at 24. We'll just play around with that a little bit. I don't want to make Hurts too good, because he's going to be in every lineup, which he probably should be anyway, but let's just bump down Miles Sanders a little bit to 40%, which means we're going to bump up Kenneth Gainwell to 30%. Seems easy enough. That's a, it's the way that we can go about that. Receiving share, 8 and 9. And let's make Sanders 11%, and let's make Gainwell 6%. So we're still at 100% now. Now we look at what is going on in the receiving game here. Devonta Smith is second in the league in air yards right now. Sorry, in unrealized air yards, because he's not getting connected with deep down the field. That probably changes in this game. So of the market share of receiving touchdowns that could be possible here, I'm going to bump him up to 35%, because I just think that's where it is likely to go. It's going to be him at 35%. I'm going to bump Zach Ertz up to 25% with no Dallas Goedert in this game. So Dallas Goedert still has market share filled in for him right now, but where he's set at zero, he won't affect any of the simulations. He has essentially just been taken out of the entire situation. So now we're at 123% when it comes down to where everything is allocated. So we can just take that away just to make the Sims run along. Didn't even really do anything for me right there. So Greg Ward, 4% is actually probably pretty good. Let's just bump down Rager to 10 and see what happens with that. We still have one to give back. Just take away a 0.7% from Quez Watkins. So now we have 35% touchdown market share for Devonta Smith, 10 for Rager, 12 for Quez Watkins, 4.5 for Greg Ward, 25% for Zach Ertz. Is he probably going to be running? I doubt it's going to be 100% of the routes and snaps, but they so rarely ask Zach Ertz to block, and it's not like he runs downfield 500 yards. He's not going to get tired too quickly. It's like 8-yard routes for him. That's a good red zone presence that Jalen Hurts is going to run, to, that he can throw to, but you do expect Jalen Hurts to call his own number a lot of the time as well. You can see all of the catch rates are kind of down for the Eagles receivers because the completion percentage for Jalen Hurts just isn't that high, but you want that high strike offense. And I think this is allocated pretty good. I'm actually going to bump up Devonta Smith just a little bit. Let's call him 26% of the target market share. And obviously that's not as good as it is on some other teams because the Eagles just don't pass the ball as much. Quez Watkins, 10%. Yeah, that checks out. I'm going to bump Arcega Whiteside to 0. And Greg Ward to 4. So now that works. Now let's see. We can just take that down to 0. And all right. So we did have some more allocated at the moment for Dallas Goedert. So we'll just take that away from him. We're going to bump up Zach Ertz to 17%. As I mean, he might not be the only tight end running this entire game, but it's going to be pretty close. We'll bump Greg Ward back up to 7%. Now we have 4 more percent to play around with. We'll go Rager 20% and Quez Watkins 13%. We'll even see how the simulations end up working out with Quez Watkins when we look at his overall median projections and see how that works out for us. Now we have successfully changed up the winning of the score of this game, 24-21. You've seen the pace get upticked, the rushing rate get upticked, and rushing ratio uptick for the Eagles, and each individual player's allocated differently from what the baseline projections were. So let's save it. And then we're going to run the Sims and see what this tells us right now. Hopefully it still matches up with the prize picks that I played earlier. So this gives us Jalen Hurts ends up in the winning, the most optimal lineup 67% of the time. Tom Brady ends up in the optimal lineup 61% of the time. Fournette 59%, 49% for Devonta Smith, and 46% for Chris Godwin, which even though we decreased his number, that really didn't make that much of a difference in terms of what the optimals ended up telling us. So that's pretty revealing when we go and look at it. So now, as captains, Brady is way lower because that's the potential ceiling on a lot of these guys. I mean, Brady has this weird ceiling because he can throw 400 yards and five touchdowns, but he doesn't have a chance of rushing for 100 yards and throwing for 300 yards like Jalen Hurts does. That makes him the overwhelming captain. So the best captains right now would be Hurts, Fournette, Devonta Smith, Chris Godwin, and after that, it would be Brady and Mike Evans up next when we look at it. So let's take a look at the projections for the game. I just want to see how Quez Watkins is doing here. Quez Watkins for 2.7 receptions on 4.5 targets. Excellent news. He's hitting the under on those. How about you, Fournette? Oh, 3.5 targets. That was his over-under for receptions. All right, and we moved him up in the receiving totals as well, so the median projections do not like him to go over that number, same as Quez Watkins. So, you know, again, there's your prize picks play, the double under on both those guys, but let's just look at our custom lineups. So when we ran this 10,000 times, this is the lineup optimally that came out 16 times when we went through it. Devonta Smith is the captain, Leonard Fournette, oh God, Quez Watkins, Jalen Hurts, Zach Ertz, and Chris Godwin. So you have the correlation with Jalen Hurts still in it. You don't have any of the rushing game besides Jalen Hurts for the Philadelphia Eagles. And then you just take 2 1-offs. So a 4-2 Philly Buccaneers stack. I'm sure that's going to be contrarian. The one issue is that is giving out, you know, all $50,000 of salary. And the reason that Quez Watkins pops up in the optimal lineup, because when we simulated this so many times, he's a really good price point on DraftKings. And when he hits his like 95th percentile outcome, he has a really, really good game. So he's going to end up in an optimal if that happens. So that's what we're thinking about. Now, this is usually better constructed for people, once again, playing 150 lineups. So if you're playing single entry or three max, or just playing 5 or 10 lineups, whatever it might be, you might want to speak to one that's a bit more, I mean, that's pretty contrarian, but using all of your salary is not super contrarian. So these next two lineups, both with Devonta Smith as captain, as you're seeing, he's popping up optimally as a captain in a lot of the easiest builds you can make. I kind of like this one. It's Devonta Smith, Leonard Fournette, Antonio Brown, Hurts, Ertz, and Rager. It's tough fading Brady on this slate, but you absolutely cannot say not play everyone. This one leaves $800 on the table. I think that's the way that I want to go. I don't have the most faith in Zach Ertz or Jalen Rager, but if that's a story that I'm telling myself about this game, this is the lineup that I would want to play. If Philly covers, loses by a field goal, and the scoring is a bit lower than we think that it could be, at least in terms of the over-under, that would be the best way to play this as a contrarian tournament play. Now, you can go input all your own customizations. I just showed you how to do it. It was super simple. You can even, oh, what's this right here? Oh, download CVS. Oh, easy game. Then you can just go upload and pick and choose the ones that you want to go upload in those. And if you just want your season-long stuff, what you think is going to happen, you can do this for every game on the main slate. Obviously, you can just go in and amend each of the games like I did. When I went to the inputs, you can just pick the slate, pick the games, and boom, you're off to the races when it comes to this. That's all at runthesims.com. You can use /mayo to get yourself a discount and just make life easy on yourself, especially if you're really into customizing and really telling the story of each of the game. Or if you have a big lean on one player and you want to get him into optimal lineups, well, just boost up his numbers and see what happens and get him in there and then generate your own lineups. runthesims.com/mayo to get yourself that discount right now. And if you want that free money at prizepicks.com, use the code MMNNFL at first deposits for first-time customers only. And then you need to deposit $100, get your deposit match of $100. We're up to $200. You get the free money for the $25. So you play a $25 entry of Quez Watkins receptions, 3, and Leonard Fournette receptions, 3.5, and take the double under, win 3 times your money, and boom, you're good to go. Plus, it makes you eligible, because you have money on Prize Picks now, to play in the Mayo Media Props Contest. We run it every single week. You play 5 guys on Sunday. You pick their over under, no Monday Night Football people, and you just play 1 entry for $7.11. That amount qualifies it for the Mayo Media Network Prize Picks Props Contest, the season-long props contest. You win 10 times your money if you win. So you $7.11 entry, not that much money. I mean, maybe it's a lot of money for someone, but if you're watching the show, I doubt that it is. And so on Prize Picks, you win 10 times your money, you have $71. But if you go 5 for 5, because you played the $7.11 entry, that means you're qualified for our contest. You get a bonus $50 on top of that, too. So it works out to be 17 times your money if you can go 5 for 5. I have not been going 5 for 5. I do have an 0 for 5 week. I don't have a 5 for 5 week yet, so hopefully I can rectify that this week. And I can build my bankroll with this Thursday night contest. Once again, check out all the shows on Mayo Media Network, specifically Fantasy Football Picks and Bets. I'll be back on this feed Saturday afternoon with my injury report, DraftKings ownership, and the best plays of the week. So stay tuned for that. Smash the like on the way out. Thank you for watching. I'm Pat Mayo. I'll see you next time.